Some people have asked, they want to give to Pakistan, and like I said, we as a church, we send funds over to help preach the gospel in the most ungospeled part of all the world. Pakistan is considered the least Christian nation, and we are going to be doing a crusade in a city called Chakrapura, and if you want to help, if you want to contribute financially, a bus. Actually, they've asked for 100 more buses. The response is so great to this crusade. They said, we want 100 more buses. We want to go into the villages. And, you know, we've already given money for a lot of, but they said, we want 100 more. And each bus costs about $75, $80 to hire. So if you want to contribute towards a bus, some people have said they'd like to. There you go. See John. He's the man. Don't see me. Okay, open your Bible today to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and Philippians chapter 2. I want to read two passages. We'll be quick. One Corinthians chapter 2 says this. From verse 6, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, just the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received, not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I want to speak on that subject today. The last verse there, Paul says, who has known the mind of the Lord? But he says, I have it, but we have the mind of Christ. And I feel there are, God wants me to speak today about having the mind of Christ. There's people here who you want to know what to do, you want to know where to go, you've got decisions to make. And in order to get to the place where God wants to lead you, a fruitful, victorious, abundant life, to get into the callings and the destinies and the ministries, we actually need to have the mind of Christ, and God wants to give us the mind of Christ. And this passage speaks about how the mind of Christ is in the Holy Spirit. It's found, the mind of Christ is found in the Holy Spirit. It's like speaks about a natural man and a man of the Spirit. There's always the same. There's always Esau and Isaac. Like this, God is speaking on FM. That's the Holy Spirit. But there's also AM, where the natural man lives. And to have the mind of Christ, we've got to be people who live on FM, that is, walk in the Spirit, not naturally, not just live like carnally. And so God, that's where the mind of Christ is found. Now, second passage I want us to read is Philippians chapter 2. This is where I want to preach from. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every other name. Father, I ask that your word will speak to us today. I ask, Lord, that you'll anoint this message, Lord, that it gets to where it needs to get to. Father, we come to you. I come to you today, Lord, needy. And I have no power, but you have all power. And I ask for that power to be manifest in this message today, Lord, for your glory's sake, that each and every one of us may be edified here, Lord, that, Lord, each and every one of us may be changed. Lord, your aim is that we be formed into Christ, and we ask for the power for that to take place even today, Lord, even today, each and every one of us leave more formed in the likeness of your Son, and I ask that in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So Paul was speaking about having the mind of Christ and the mind of Christ in the Holy Spirit. And he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So to have the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ comes to us. It's in the Holy Spirit. The human mind is a wonderful gift, but it's absolutely useless until it is yielded to the Holy Spirit. That's why a lot of intelligent people, highly intelligent people who get stuff through being intelligent, struggle to come into the things of God because they trust in their natural, unrenewed, carnal mind. And the mind is only good to God and for us when it is actually yielded and informed by the Holy Spirit. That's where the mind of Christ is found. The Holy Spirit, revelation, revealing to us God's will on a subject. God's idea on the subject. And see, Paul, he knew the mind of Christ. He knew, he found out from, he you know, the Bible says, and people often quote this passage, a wonderful passage in Jeremiah 29, I know the thoughts I have towards you. Thoughts to prosper you, not harm you. Do you know God has thoughts towards you? He actually thinks about you. He thought about you before the world was created. And he thought about not only birthing you and giving you a life, but he thought of giving you a life different to any other lives. He thought of making you his child, and he thought of you using you for his glory, not to just be like anybody else. He has actually kingdom plans and thoughts about you. And what a wonderful thing it is to discover the thoughts God has about me. Oh, I know God thought that I would be an apostle to the nations before the world was formed. How? The Holy Spirit showed me that. And God has thoughts for each and every one of us here. He has thoughts about us, and he wants to release them to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And Paul knew who he was. He says, no one else accredits me this. People may not think I'm anything, but he says, I know I'm an apostle of Christ. He says, I know I'm an apostle of Christ, and I know I'm called to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, and I know what the gospel is. Even though there are many false preachers, he said, I know what the real thing is. I don't care what they say. I know because I received it direct from heaven. I got God's thoughts on the issue. And to have the mind of Christ, we need to actually firstly have the goal of being formed, of Christ being formed in me. See, a lot of people, they want God to answer them, they want God to bless them, and he does that for his children. But to have the mind of Christ, we've actually got to desire Christ-likeness first. Our goal isn't to God, give me this, give me that, help me here, help me there, heal me here. Our actual goal has to be God, form Christ in me and through me. God, I want Christ, all of him. And when you get Christ, you get everything. But that's what Paul wanted. See, Paul was a Pharisee. He says, I was zealous for God, but I was on the wrong track. I thought I was working for the glory of God. I thought I was preaching the real gospel until God really laid a hold of me and I met him on the road to Damascus. He says, I was a Benjamin, born of the circumcised the eighth day. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was zealous for everything, persecuting the church. I was concerning righteousness. I was flawless. But he said, these things that were gained to me, I've counted all for the loss for Christ. I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus, my Lord. I've suffered loss of everything. But he said, but now my goal is that, verse 10, that I might know him. I might know him. And so we, to actually have the mind of Christ, our goal has to be that he be formed in me, in every way. Not only his mind, but his heart and his legs and his nature and his kindness and his peace and his love. I want Christ. I want Christ to be formed in me. I want Martin to die. I want people to see the goodness and the peace and the joy of Christ in and through me. I want to manifest Christ to the world, and I want to know him. I don't want to know about him, but I want to know him. I want to have a relationship in the Holy Spirit where I hear him, where I see him, where he is revealed to me. I want to know him. Relationally, I want to know him. That was Paul's zeal. He said, that's what my whole life is about. He said, I did religion. I was so good at religion. I was going up the ladder of religion until I had this encounter on the Damascus Road where I met Christ, and he was so wonderful. I met him in the Holy Spirit, and now all my life is about I know him more. And he said, that's where we begin. And Paul had this encounter on the road to Damascus. It's found in Acts chapter 9. He was going and persecuting the church and thinking he was doing good and serving God. And God knocked him off his horse. And that encounter was so wonderful to him. He said, through that encounter, I lost everything. But that's okay, because I gained more. I gained Christ. He had this encounter where you see it in Acts chapter 9, that he was knocked off his horse. And God met him and said, I am Jesus. In verse 5, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. Rise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. And it says in verse 10, there was a certain disciple in Damascus called Ananias. To him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, he said, here I am, Lord. Arise and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas, for one called Saul of Tarsus is there. For behold, he is praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. And it says, Paul was there, verse 9, 3 days and nights without sight. He lost his sight. And he ate nothing and drank nothing. So he was there, and he got knocked off his horse. He was there, and for 3 days and 3 nights, when he lost sight, he was led to a room, and he was on his knees, praying and fasting and crying out to God about this experience he just had that he couldn't fully comprehend, but he'd met the risen Christ, trying to understand it, trying to comprehend it. For 3 days, he didn't eat anything, but he was praying and crying out to God in the room, shut in alone with nobody. And as he was shut in alone, God started to move. And it says that he spoke to Ananias and said, go, there's a guy there. And Ananias said, this guy kills people. Are you sure? And God says, no, I've prepared him. He's going to bring glory to my name. He's going to bear my name. He's going to suffer much. And at the same time he's speaking to Ananias, it says in a vision, Paul saw Ananias coming to him. So Ananias knew what God was doing. He's calling this man. And Paul knew what God was doing. He was bringing Ananias together, and a plan of God was being hatched. And it was being hatched, and God was moving, and Paul was discovering the mind of Christ for him through prayer and fasting. And it says after that encounter where Ananias came to him and he was crying out to God, it says that immediately after that, he preached the Christ, that he is the Son of God. And he proved that Jesus is the Christ in verse 22. So in that prayer time, Paul discovered that in that time he was crying out, Ananias came to him and said, he said, you're the one God's chosen to bear his glory to the Gentiles. So he knew God's plan and purpose and the thoughts that God had towards him. And then he understood, amazingly, he understood that from the Old Testament that Christ was the Messiah. Nobody figured that out. He figured it out. And this great plan, the mind of Christ for his life, that he was going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And he knew who Christ was, and he was going to preach Christ and be persecuted. But that's what he was. He was this apostle to the Gentiles. And that was God's mind and God's plan for him. And it was found. And the only way it was found, he got God's mind on who he was and what God was doing, why he knocked him down, why he took him to a room. He discovered God's mind on the issue through prayer and fasting. And see, the mind of Christ is in the Holy Spirit. And where there is much prayer and fasting, there is much of the Holy Spirit. Where there's much of the Holy Spirit, there's ever-increasing prayer and fasting. Anyone who's a man of the Spirit loves to pray and fast. And anyone who prays and fasts, the Holy Spirit starts to reveal the plans and the thoughts of God towards you. And you see the same thing with Peter. If you just turn over one page, you see Peter in Acts chapter 10. There's a beautiful passage where everyone at this time thinks that salvation is just for the Jews. Salvation is just for the Jews. And when Peter first said, no, it's for the Gentiles as well, people disputed with him in Acts chapter 11. They contended with him. But see, what happened with Peter? God had a plan, God's purpose, and God's thoughts started to be revealed for Peter and his destiny. And there was this guy called Cornelius, a bit the same with Ananias and Paul. This time it's Cornelius, who's a man, it said, who gave money to the poor in chapter 10, verse 2 of Acts. And he prayed, and he was praying always, it says. So he's a praying man. And it says in verse 9 of chapter 10, the next day Peter went up on the housetop alone to pray on the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened and an object and a great sheet come down four corners and it had all this creeping food. And a voice said to him, Peter, arise and eat. And then it says, what God, and Peter says, I can't, I'm a Jew. And he says, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. And then God sends Cornelius to Peter's house. He's told to do that through prayer. And Peter's have it praying. And he has this vision about unclean things becoming clean. And in the vision, the next verse, it says he goes downstairs. God says, go downstairs. This Cornelius is waiting for you. And Peter goes to Cornelius, he doesn't understand, but he's a Gentile. And he starts to speak about the things of God. The Holy Spirit comes upon them and baptizes the Gentiles. And Peter comes back saying, like, my goodness, God's going to save the Gentiles as well as the Jew. My purpose is to preach the gospel to the Jew and the Gentiles. That's God's plan. That's God's mind on salvation. And his mind on salvation, Peter didn't know it until that time. And how did he discover it? Through prayer. He got God's mind on the issue through getting alone with God and praying and seeking the face of God. So God's mind is revealed through the Holy Spirit. And if we want to know the plans and the voice of the Holy Spirit and the mind of Christ, you discover it. It's no secret, just seeking God. There's great corporate prayer is great. Coming to church is great. But you're not going to discover the mind of Christ and God's plan and purpose for your life until you seek him. And he says, if you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. These same experiences that Paul had, these same experience for Peter, will be your experience. God will find those who seek him with all their heart. And God invites us all to go into that place and say, God, I want to know why I'm here. I want to know what you're doing. I want to know where I'm going. I got a problem. I don't have a solution, but I know you do. The one who created all things. I want your creator. I want your mind on this issue. I want your mind on why I've got no joy. I want to understand why my marriage is in trouble. I want to have knowledge of these things. And he says, if you seek me, you'll find me and you'll have the mind of Christ through prayer. Going to church won't do that for you, friends. I love you coming to church. But you're not going to get the mind of Christ just through coming to church. You're not going to get the mind of Christ just through going to the corporate prayer. You're going to get the mind of Christ through seeking God for yourself, through locking yourself, by getting alone with God, praying and fasting, and he's still speaking. He's still giving visions. But they're not given lightly. So the mind of Christ comes through prayer and fasting. And Paul had it. He knew exactly what God thought about him. He knew exactly what God thought he wanted to do through him. He knew exactly how God thought he was going to direct him. He knew. Just like Jesus said, I don't do anything apart from what the Father says and does. Jesus had the mind of Christ, and so did Paul. And so can you. And it says here, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Found in appearance of man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death. Paul was a man of prayer, but he was also a man who was going somewhere in the religious world. He was a man who was, he had letters, he was credentialed, and he was a mover and a shaker in the religious world. He was going up the ladder. He was getting invited to conferences. He was a decorated Pharisee. And then he met Christ, and he says, none of that matters anymore. He said, I don't care about that anymore. And here it says, Christ, the word is better translated, made himself of no reputation, emptied himself of his reputation. And Paul got to the place where he didn't care what people said about him. And people said plenty of bad things about him. He didn't care that he didn't get recognized. He said, I'm just willing to be of no reputation. I don't care what they say about me. And he humbled himself and let all his letters go. And the Word of God says that if you seek the honor of men, you can't believe. And God's going to get us to a point that it says that Jesus emptied himself of his reputation. God can't fill you with the Holy Spirit till you're empty. God can't fill you with the Holy Spirit till you stop desiring recognition, pats on the back, till you stop desiring men to notice, you stop wanting a platform from men, to stop wanting people to acknowledge you, all that from unhealed stuff, to stop wanting your self-esteem to be healed through the applause of others. God's got to get you to the place where you actually don't want anything except his glory. You only want to be used by him, to represent him truly, to speak his word, and you don't care what people say about you. And I want to tell you, if God is really going to use you, I believe you're going to lose your reputation. How I know God's not using a man? Everybody speaks well of him. That's a sure way God's not using a man. Everybody speaks well of him. He's still got a good reputation with everybody. Now, a good reputation is a good thing, but when God starts to use people in the Holy Spirit, you're always criticized. Always. As Christ was criticized, Paul was criticized, and Paul said, I don't care anymore. I don't care. Those tickets I had, those conferences I went to with the Pharisees, I'm just not interested in that anymore, but I just want to serve Christ. I just want to please him. I just want to do his will. I just want to go his way. And God says, I'll give you my mind. I'll give you my mind. He said, let this mind be in you. Like Christ, he made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. And so he not only had no reputation. See, this is about descending, not ascending. He said, I'm free. Christ has freed me from everything. But a bondservant was someone who, in those days, slaves were bought and sold at the slave market. But if you got a good slave owner, you could receive your freedom after serving for a while. But if your owner was so good, you could actually choose. You'd put a piercing in your ear to show that, yeah, I, I, I'm a voluntary servant. I am free, but I choose to stay in servitude to this master because he's good. And Paul used the same word as Christ used. Christ called himself a bondservant, and Paul said the same thing. He said, I'm free to do whatever I like in my life, but actually I have chosen to take on the nature of a servant. I am God's servant, and Christ came not to be ministered to. He came to minister and serve. He came to give and not to get. And it says, let the same mind be in you. That you want to serve people. You want to help people. You want to bless people. You want to be useful to God to free people, to preach the gospel to people. But your life has to be turned around that it's not about you anymore. It's not about your reputation. It's not about you getting. It's about you being a blessing to others. And I even know leaders in the church who will say things like, I don't want to do that because it's not my gift. And they wonder why you don't hear from God. It's not about your gift. It's not about your calling. It's not about your specialty, about what you want to do. It's actually about having the attitude that I am here to serve God. I am here to serve hurting people. And there is no boundaries. I'm not talking about dead works. I'm just talking about there's no qualifications. If God actually speaks to you, cross the road and give that person some money or go and pray for that person, that's what you're there to do. There's no boundaries. I only serve in this area. See, I heard once servanthood described like this. Somebody went to the palace, an Australian. They went to the Buckingham Palace, and they met somebody who served Queen Elizabeth. And they said to them, "What do you do?" And he said, "I serve Her Majesty." And they said, "Be specific, though. I want to know your duties. I want to know your details. What do you do?" And they said, "I serve Her Majesty. I serve Her Majesty. Whatever she wants, I do it. I do it. Let this mind be in you, that Christ made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant." And in ministry, I've discovered the true servants are very rare. Paul said to the Roman church, "I'm going to send Timothy because I've got nobody like him. There's elders and there's leaders, but I've got nobody like Timothy because it's all not about him. It's all about God. It's all about Christ. He's just willing to lay himself down and do what God's wanting him to do." And he says, "I've got no one like Timothy." And it's not about his gift. It's not about his calling. It's about his heart that he's just willing always to minister to others. And you know, I want to say, you'll always know God's will. You'll always know God's mind if you can get to the place in your life where you really say to God, "No longer my will, but thy will." Just simply, no longer what Martin wants with my whole life, but what you want. And you live in that place on the altar of surrender and say, "No longer my will today, no longer my will about ministry, no longer my will about anything, but thy will, your will be done through my life." You'll have the mind of Christ. He will trust you. He will show you his plans. He will show you what he wants to do with you and through you. He will show you what he thinks about you. And when you know what God thinks about you, you're the happiest man on planet. "But you know the thoughts I have towards you." Some people got no idea about what God thinks about them. They've been in the church for 50 years. Because it's in the Holy Spirit. But God actually wants to come and actually show you, "I think about you. You're my child. You're precious. I gave my son for you. And it's real. I love you. That's how I think about you. And I want to use you. I got a plan for you. And I want to give you the specifics of that plan." That plan is discovered on your knees. It's discovered when it's no longer about your reputation. And it's discovered where you just say, "God, your will be done." As Christ went to the cross, he said, "Not my will, but thy will." There's a breaking in a man when that really happens. There's a breaking in a woman that when that really happens. All self, all selfish agendas, I surrender to them today. I surrender, not who I want to marry, who you want me to marry, not where I want to work, where you want me to work, not what I want to do, what you want me to do. I'm here, Lord, to serve. The King of Kings, the King of Kings. Who? What do you do? I serve the King of Kings. What do you? How do you do? I just serve him. I just serve him. I had this revelation years ago. I said, God, I believe you're calling me to the nations. God was, but God had to deal with me. And I was fasting and praying, seeking God's face. I think I'd gone like, there were a number of days. I hadn't eaten anything. But I was seeking God, locked in with God. And I'm waiting on God to speak. And I'm thinking he's going to speak about a certain place, maybe plant another church, maybe go to another nation, maybe start a radio ministry, something like this. I'm expecting God to speak to me like this. And God said to me, would you stack shelves in the Woolworths supermarket for my glory? For my glory. And I wrestled with God. I wrestled until all my flesh, I believe, was fully surrendered. And I got out of that prayer closet. My wife will tell you, I said, joyfully, joyfully today, if my king wants me to stack service in Woolworths for the rest of my life, not only am I going to do it, but I'm going to do it every day with joy because I want to serve him. And since those times, those seasons, God's never stopped speaking to me. He's never stopped revealing his mind because honestly, it's not about us. This ministry is not about us. The church is not about us. We could let it go tomorrow. But it's about serving the King of Kings. And then you know who you are, what he's called you to do, what he thinks about you. Just a little while ago, God just said to me, he said, I delight in certain people. And I'm not trying to puff myself up here because if you knew me, there's nothing to get puffed up about. But he said, you know, I'm really into certain people. I was really into King David, even though he did bad things. I was really into him because he worshipped me. He is a praiser of me. He actually loved me. I'm really into him. And he said, he sung to me and I rejoiced over David with singing. And God said to me, I'm rejoicing over you. That was his mind. Paul, he was not guessing. He said, I have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ in the Holy Spirit. He reveals his thoughts to me. Shows me what he's thinking, what his plans are, because it's not about me. I've let my reputation go. I just want to do his will. And I'm on my knees, praying and fasting till I find it all the time. That's how you get the mind of Christ. That's how you let this mind, the mind of Christ, be in your mind. So I know there are people here today, you're actually wanting to know from heaven. You're actually wanting to know directions, plans, purposes. You're actually wanting to know seasons of God. You're actually wanting to know God's will for what to do, where to go. I want to pray for you today. As I pray, you just surrender everything to him. You just surrender everything to him. And you know what happened this is a real thing. It says, when Peter, who was just surrendered, like Paul, when Peter went up to the housetop at the sixth hour to pray, he became very hungry because he was fasting. And he fell into a trance and he saw heaven opened. There is such a thing as an open heaven over your life, where visions, dreams, the Word of God flows to you. And as we pray today, I'm going to pray, if you will surrender your will, if you say from this day forward, it's not about my agenda, God, but take this life of mine. Make it what you will, not what I will. You really mean that? Take my potential, my ambitions. I surrender them to you. Make them your potential, your ambitions. Give them to me. He will. He'll give you his mind. And he'll open the heavens over your life. And open the heavens, you'll start to have dreams and you'll start to have visions, and God will start to meet with you and he'll start to speak with you and you'll start to say, I know my God, I don't know about him. You know why you need to know this? Because Isaiah 55 says this. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways. But as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. You got your thoughts, God's are much higher. You got your ways, God's are much higher, and he wants to give them to you. He wants to give them to you. His very thoughts, his very mind, his very direction, his very plans, his very purposes, why you're here, who you are, where you're going, even the details and the specifics. He wants to give you his mind. It just all comes through surrender. And if, you know, that passage finishes by saying, Christ humbled himself, and then the next passage is, and then God exalted him. Exalted him when he surrendered all.